evening and would like to turn with us to a portion of reading. We'll be reading from the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. The 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. Just to be quite frank with you, this is maybe a little strange for a revival sermon. But I'll be honest with you, I really don't know what constitutes necessarily a revival sermon as opposed to anything else. As long as the Holy Spirit is in it, that's all that I'm concerned with this evening. So I beg that you'd pray for me. I've got quite a subject before me, but it is what the Lord has laid upon our hearts. And I feel that if I were to try to preach anything else, I would do the Lord, this church, this service, and myself a disservice. And I certainly do not want to do that tonight. And if you're here and lost or saved, I believe this message will be applicable to all of us. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And it said, "And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. And the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness into her place, when she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." That being the 7th through the 17th verse of the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. Our thought for a few moments tonight would be, "He just wants to be your friend." Now, I know that's a really silly title for this message. I understand that. We live in a society today that has cast the picture of the devil as this cute, cuddly little furry, maybe, thing that has these little horns that sticks out his head. He's all red and just looks like something that you'd like to just play with or have a big fun time with. They usually portray him with a little pitchfork or something of that nature. You know, they really don't do the devil justice when they start to paint his picture. I was thinking today about the devil, and I thought, oh, what a great subject to sit around and think about all day. But as you think about the devil, I realize that most people are not scared of the devil like they should be. I want you to realize the devil wants to be your friend, but you don't want to be the devil's friend. I want all of us to realize at some point we've all been friends with the devil. You'd say, "Preacher, I've never been friends with him." At some point, you have done something you shouldn't have done, and you've become very good friends with the devil. I'll also go a step further. I believe this. Before you're ever a child of God, you are a child of the devil. I believe the Scripture teaches us that. I believe you bear that out by the Scriptures. And I believe as it teaches us that, I believe the world today is a whole lot more the child of the devil than they are the child of God. Now, the devil tonight, as I told you, he just wants to be your friend. But there's a caveat in that. You see, he wants to be your friend as long as he knows that he has you. Amen. You see, the devil tonight knows that he has but a short time to gather in everybody that he can get.
again. He knows that his time is limited. So what he does is he does just exactly what he did to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Well, if you read over in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, we read about a serpent that comes to Eve there. And I believe the Bible says that he was a beguiling creature. Now, I don't like snakes too much. That's what a serpent is. If I see one, I'm headed out the door. If you bring them in here, I'm leaving. We're not snake handling Baptist or any other kind of people. We're just not. I don't like serpents. I don't like big ones. I don't like small ones. But you realize here that this serpent that came to Eve, he must have been a good-looking creature. I imagine that he was a very suave-looking fellow. Now, I want you to realize Adam and Eve were probably the most beautiful human beings or the most beautiful creations there ever has been. They were the first. They were without sin there for a short period of time. They were probably about as close to perfection here on earth as you could get. But here comes the serpent. What does he say to Eve? Eve, this is going to be bad for you. You shouldn't do that. No. He comes to Eve and he says, Eve, you know that tree over there that God came and he told you you couldn't have any of it? All of that's a lie. You can have all you want. You know, the moment that you eat of that, oh, you'll become as gods. You'll have all of the knowledge that you'll ever need. Just go over there, Eve, and eat of that tree. Well, what does Eve do? This beguiling creature, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. On the safe side of things, I choose to think that I would follow the Lord or God Himself. On the low side of things, I can understand why people fall into very sinful living nature. I can understand that. I realize why that they do. But Satan here, he comes to her, and I've often wondered what broke down in her mind so that she would believe this serpent. Again, he must have been a very, very beguiling creature, as the Bible says. And so as they talk, Eve goes over there, and she grabs of that tree, and she eats of it. Well, she goes back to Adam and says, Adam, you know this fruit, why it's not all that bad. And I guess maybe he was just like a good husband and said, oh, well, Eve, I guess I'll take it because you've given it to me. What the woman says usually is what goes, and I guess that's kind of how this worked in that situation. So she came over there and she gave it to him, and well, old Adam, he took a bite of that fruit. Now, I want you to realize something. I don't believe sin entered in when Eve ate of the fruit. I believe that when Adam ate of the fruit, that's when sin entered into the world. That's why tonight it's called the Adamic covenant or the Adamic sin. It is what all of us tonight are bound by. We are all bound by sin, as we heard last night from Brother Danny. That's why there has to be justice. And thank God that there's mercy on the other side of that justice. But you see, that sin, oh, it looks real good. And so does Satan sometimes. Now, I want you to realize something about Satan. Satan does not have a form or a fashion today. Satan today is going about to be anything that makes you want it. I want you to realize tonight, sin is the very encapsulation of Satan. Sin is Satan's child almost. He's so thankful for every single one of us that he can get ensnared in sin. Because he just wants to be your friend. So as I thought about that today, he just wants to be your friend. Have you ever had somebody, and the very moment they begin talking to you, you thought, there's not really much to this person, but they look real good on the outside. They've got big words and they look real nice and they act real nice, but there's something a little amiss. We sometimes call those frenemies. They're friends, but they're also enemies. We keep our friends close and our enemies closer. Well, that's kind of what Satan does. Satan comes to us and, boy, he looks real good. Now, anything that he knows that he can tempt you with, he will become. He will become the very thing that will take you and snatch you away from God. If he knows that he can have your weakness, that's exactly what he'll do. But I don't want to get to our scriptures tonight. I want to talk about him just wanting to be your friend. Now I want to go over these scriptures. There's a lot in this that my little mind does not understand. I realize every time a preacher opens to the book of Revelations, they expect everything and all the secrets to be open. Well, I don't have all of them tonight. But I can read and I can understand a little bit. And it said there was a war in heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never heard anybody get up in church and sing about a war in heaven. That wouldn't be a very good hymnal song, I don't imagine. But there was one day. I imagine, and I've heard people talk about what the war started over and why it started, but I want to get right down to the crux of why I believe there was a war in heaven. I believe old Satan, or Lucifer, the son of the morning, I believe one day he got to looking around and thinking, oh, somebody. And maybe there were some people. I just imagine, as he was with Eve, that he just smooth talks everybody. And so maybe he got some angels around there to start following him. And one day he thought, well, I'm bigger than the rest of them, so maybe I can overthrow or I can get something pulled over on these people. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. These scriptures right here don't relay that out. But I imagine that the devil himself had such gall about himself to think that he was bigger than God was. And so the war commenced. How can I get God amidst all of this? Now, I don't have time tonight to preach you about how amazing, omnipotent, omniscient, and all-knowing that our God is. We all should know that our God is the biggest creation. Well, not a creation. He's always has been, always will be, and always has been. He's been there since the very start. He has always been. And here comes the devil thinking, just maybe he might be able to do something about this. And it says, and the dragon fought and his angels. Now, I don't think the Bible teaches us they got out their Humvees and everything and started driving around heaven and had this big war. But I imagine that heaven was in great turmoil for a space of time. But I like what it says in verse 8. It says, and they prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. So where are they going to go? Well, if you look back to Luke chapter 10, verse 8, it says that Satan fell like lightning from heaven. I believe that Satan and his angels, I believe they were cast out of heaven by God himself. And they were sent to the earth. Well, what happens then? Satan is mad. Satan realizes that he's lost. Now, I want to make mention of something there. We talk about those that don't have a plan or time of salvation, a knowledge that they've been saved by the grace of God. We say that they are lost. But guess what? For every single one of those people, if they will believe in the name of Jesus, they have hope. But those tonight that are in the devil's realm, they're forever lost. But you know what the Bible does say about the devil? It says the devil and his angels, even they believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. How much more tonight should you believe that Jesus is the Son of God if even the devils tremble at the very thought of God Himself? It says the dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil. And Satan, which, what does he do? Does he go around doing good deeds? No, it says he deceives the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. But I like what was said in heaven. Now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God both day and night.
You know the best part about all of this, and I'm going to get to this now where I didn't think I was going to, but what does it say? And they overcame him by what? By the blood of the Lamb. It says, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Amen. But he just wants to be your friend. So why does he want to be your friend tonight? You know, I remember being lost and separated from God. And I remember I would sit in church Sunday morning and Sunday night, Wednesday night, I would go throughout the week. Do you know what the devil would do all the time? You know there's nothing to that. You know that those people are crazy. You know that there's no God. Why don't you just follow me? Why don't you look around and see the things that I can offer you? You hear these people talk about peace. Well, I can offer you the world. I just really want to be your friend. I just want to make you feel good. I just want to make you happy. Well, he has a motive behind being your friend. Have you ever had somebody that was your friend, but they were only your friend because of one simple reason? What you could do for them. Well, it's the same way with the devil. The devil knows tonight he's got but a short time. So what does he have to do? He's got to gather everybody that he can to go with him. What does the Bible say about hell? It says it was created for the devil and his angels. Amen. Guess what? That means not for you. But guess what? Because of justice, he is just to send anybody that never believes in his name to hell. And the devil knows that. And so he wants every one of you tonight. If you're here tonight lost, oh, I guarantee you, he is telling you, oh, don't believe a word of that preacher. I'm not really that bad. I wouldn't send you to hell. We're not really going there. We're not really going to a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. That place is a fairy tale. Do you think I would go somewhere like that? Don't you know that I control the entire world? Why, don't you remember what happened with old Job? Have you ever read about what God did to Job? Why would you serve someone like him? Don't you know that I can offer you the world? What happened with Job? It says that the devil was out walking to and fro, and there was a council that was called together. And guess who shows up? Kind of like the person you don't invite, but they're always kind of there. Didn't really want them there, but here they come anyways. Well, guess what? Old Satan shows up. And I imagine the conversation went a little bit something like this. Satan, what are you doing here? I didn't invite you. Hey, let me ask you a question, God. What about your servant? Or God may have said something along the lines of, have you considered my servant Job? There was a conversation that took place there. And God said, have you ever considered my servant Job? And Satan kind of may have had that sneer on his face. And he said, don't you know that he'll curse you? He'll turn his back on you when he sees what you've done to him and what I can do. He knows that he's got you, that you're his, that he belongs to you. And the moment that he sees that his life has become as destruction, he'll curse you and he'll die. God said you can do anything you want to him, but you cannot lay a hand upon him. Now, old Job, bless his heart, he got the rough end of the stick. He lost his entire family in one swoop. His wife even comes in and says, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Wouldn't it be better for you? You know, he was covered in boils from head to toe. He was just laid up, couldn't do anything. Why don't you just curse God and die? Well, Job, as you read through the book, there are many times that Job gets close. Job be
very life at times. A couple weeks ago, I preached and used the verse of Scripture, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that I know that after the skin worms devour my flesh, in my flesh shall I see Him." You see, through all of that, no matter what the devil did, he still believed and trusted God. And he knew that even though his very life was in jeopardy, that God was still the one that was in control. Go back to Genesis for just a moment. You know, as they were cast out of the garden there, what does it say happened to that old serpent? Did he look real pleasing anymore? Did he look like something that we want to see? No, 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 no. He looks just like we would imagine him today, as something that slithers around and goes about being a nuisance to people. And I want you to realize he has been sliding on that belly ever since that day that they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. And then we get down to here. "Because he knoweth he hath but a short time." Because he just wants to be your friend, really. I thought about today as I was sitting in my office for a few moments. I thought about how that the devil has taken this world and he's lied to them. He has. He's lied to this world. Again, he's the father of all lies. Have you ever known somebody that everything that came out of their mouth was a lie? Everything that they said, you couldn't believe a word from them. I want you to understand something tonight. I wouldn't believe anything that Satan told me. Do you remember what he did to Jesus? This is Satan now. Jesus is there. The Bible says that Satan tempted him for 40 days and 40 nights. I want you to understand something. If the devil will tempt our Savior, you're not immune to that either. He will tempt you just as much. Guess what he did to Jesus? Why, he went to Jesus and he took him up on the mountain there and he said, "Look out, if you will just acknowledge me, why, I'll give you all of that out there." Knowing good and well that Jesus had control of it all. So he lied. He thought that he could offer Jesus something that was already his. I want to turn somewhere else tonight. We're going to move just a couple chapters behind this to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. He just wants to be your friend. You know, my friends, my best friends, my friends that I trust and that I love and that I know that would do anything for me, I know they would be there for me without any doubt. But again, there are people that you have as friends and neighbors and co-workers and different things. They're just out to get you. Now, I'm not trying to make you paranoid. It's just how things are. If you haven't lived long enough to figure that out, bless your hearts, you'll figure it out one of these days. Revelation chapter 20 talks about the devil and Satan. Now, I'm not going to get into the thousand-year millennial reign tonight. I want you to realize I don't believe in it. I believe that when Jesus comes back, that is it. I believe there's not going to be a thousand years for you to get things ready. You'd better make sure you have it prepared now. I'm going to tell you, I believe that thousand years is a figurative thousand years. I believe it represents a good space of time. But I want you to realize something that is said about Satan. It says that he's bound. You know he's bound by? God. He's got his thumb on him. People will tell you that there's going to be this space of time, that there will be peace on earth, and that God is, or Jesus is going to come back, and He's going to set up His kingdom for a thousand years. Bless their hearts. He has already set that kingdom up. Already. That kingdom is here tonight. As we look, what does it say? It says there's going to be a little season that Satan is going to be completely loosed. Now, we look around tonight, and I believe that relatively, you can say, "Preacher, you have flipped your lid if you really believe this." For the most part, regardless of what you think, we live in a fairly peaceful time. Now, Don't all get bent out of shape over that at once. I realize what's going on in the world. I know that it's a bad place. But it has always been full of sin. It has not ever been a place other than when they were in the Garden of Eden that has been very peaceful. They've always had wars. They've always had turmoil. They've always had bad things going on. People have been killed. People have been murdered all throughout history. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. I believe there's going to be a time when the devil is going to be really unleashed on this world. The Scripture says, and well, I believe tonight, that there may very well come a time when God's people will beg for the Lord to return. I don't know when that will be. I don't know how that's going to happen. But I believe this tonight, I'm not begging for the Lord to come back. I've not seen a time when I just want out of the situation so bad that I beg Him to return. But it says, and when the 1,000 years are expired. Again, I believe that's a long time. Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is at the sand of the sea. You think the devil doesn't have his followers tonight? Oh, yes, he does. He has many tonight because he just wanted to be their friend. And he lied to them, and he got them on his side. Where did they go? And they went up the breadth of the earth, and they compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and the fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. So the devil and all of his friends, they get together for one last stand. You ever heard of, is it Custard's Last Stand or something along those lines? Well, this is the devil's last ditch effort. And so he goes, and guess what? I can almost just see the greed in his eyes. I'm finally going to get them. The church, I'm finally going to destroy it. It'll be no more. And all of God's people, let's just get rid of them. And as He encompasses them around about, what happens? The Bible says that we have already won the victory. I've said this plenty of times. Maybe not here. I don't know. I can't remember everything I say. But I like to win. I do. Well, in the grand scheme of things, good news, we win.
Amen.
We have already won the battle tonight. But bless our hearts, the devil just wants to be our friend. He knows he's got a short time.
What happens to those that are with the devil and his friends? It says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are. And does it say they're going to live very nicely with Rolls Royces on a beach beside the ocean in hell? Mm-mm. It says, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever. What's the man's name that says, and here's the rest of the story. The devil tonight will tell you that everything is okay. You don't have to worry about what that preacher's saying. Don't believe him. I'm not that bad. Don't believe the preacher. Don't believe God. Why, surely He's not really going to send us to hell. You know, God's not all that bad. Fellow. You ever had someone that just talked up somebody else and then turned right around and was talking the exact opposite? It happens. That's how the devil is. He will tell you one thing and do the exact opposite. But guess what his ultimate demise is? It's the very same demise that those that are lost and separated from God face. They all burn in hell. For how long? Forever and ever. He just wants to be your friend tonight. Guess what? If that's the only friend I've got, I don't need one, brothers and sisters. But guess what? There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And guess who that is? His name is Jesus. And when this life is over, guess what? There's not going to be any flames, fire, and brimstone. All will be peace and glory forevermore. And you know what Jesus does to us? When He comes to us,
Isaiah chapter 1 that says, "Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made white as snow." When Jesus comes calling and He knocks at our heart, and He says, "Let me in." You've got the devil. Have you ever seen those commercials? You've got the devil on one shoulder and they've got a little angel on the other. And they're just bickering each other. Here's the thing. The devil is standing there saying, "Oh, don't listen to him. He's not real." But Jesus tonight, when He knocks at your heart, it's because He loves you. And He really wants to be your friend. I want to be your friend too. But even more than I want to be your friend, the Lord wants to be your friend. I want to go back to our scripture reading for just one moment, if the Lord will help us tonight. Revelation chapter 12. If you would, Brother Colin, get us a song together. "Because He knoweth, He hath but a short time." He's running to and fro all over the world to get everybody He can. And I want you to realize tonight, in the space of this message, there have been many people that have believed the devil and have died and have gone to hell. All because He presented Himself to them and He just wanted to be their friend. Who are you going to believe tonight? Save people. Guess what? The devil knows that he can't get you. But guess what he'd like to do? He would like to ruin your influence. And if the devil can get his hooks in you, he will. He doesn't want to be your friend either. But he sure would like to make you have or lose your influence among your friends, your family, your relatives, your neighbors. Oh, He would love tonight for you to fall. He'd love tonight for me to fall. But bless His heart, when you have a friend that, as Job was talked about by God, Satan says, "Haven't you built a hedge of protection about him?" I believe tonight that if we'll pray and we'll ask God to, and we'll earnestly seek for the Lord to build a hedge of protection around us, to keep us from the snares of the devil, that He'll do that. You know how that works? When God's people do exactly what God has asked them to do. When they pray, when they're spiritually doing what they're supposed to do, when they are becoming sanctified beings in the sight of God, I believe God builds a hedge of protection around those people. And He takes care of them. Does that mean not a bad thing's ever going to happen to you in this life again? No. We live in a world full of sin. And I'm convinced tonight that old James knew what he was talking about when he said, "Submit thyself to the Lord. Humble thyself before the Lord. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." When we're submitting ourselves to God, Satan has no choice but to flee. Because as much as Satan is the prince of this world, our Father, our Son, our Savior, is the King of this world. And He has complete dominion over it all. Satan wants to be your friend tonight, but Jesus would like to be your friend, your brother, and your Savior. One ends in a pit in a place called hell. The other will land you in an eternal paradise with the Lord forever. I struggle to use these words because it makes it sound a little watered down, but the choice is really yours. If God deals with your heart, you had better seek the Lord while He may be found. If you choose to turn Him away, you just may very well die in your lost condition. And guess what? You are becoming a friend to the devil. Choose to seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. While we stand together.